Welcome to the Positive Disciple Podcast, where we interact and learn how to be and make disciples in our normal everyday rhythm of life by obeying Jesus and practicing the positive habits that he modeled and taught. Listen, learn, and practice. Welcome everybody to our very first podcast. We are excited to have you on board with us. I am extremely grateful that you pushed the play button, and I know you will not regret. My name is Philomena Minor, and I'm here with
Mark Kolo. That's my name. Yes.
Karibu sana, Mark.
Asante.
And we just want to share briefly about what this podcast is all about and what you'll expect in the coming series and future episodes that will feature. And just to throw this back at Mark, can you share a brief reason as to why you decided or why we thought that this podcast would be relevant in our day and age today?
Yes, thanks, Philo. We feel that there's need to just engage, especially with young people, about the truth of what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. The Positive Disciple podcast is aimed at exploring through the lenses of Scripture and through the experiences of several other young people the whole theme of discipleship. I think that the concept of discipleship sometimes is misunderstood or misapplied in the church and in several platforms where people engage as disciples. So we feel like we want to explore deeper and help people have a clearer perspective of what do we mean when we say somebody is a disciple. And yes, we will be sharing from scriptures, but mostly we'll be engaging with people who are on the path of discipleship, hearing their stories and learning through practical experiences how people are following Jesus in their everyday normal lives today.
That is really inspiring. I am looking forward to hearing some of those stories.
Me too.
I personally have been transformed through the journey of discipleship. I believe that there was a huge misconception that I had about what truly following Jesus meant. Mm.
Okay,
and looked like.
Share your story with us then. Let's start with you. Share your story. How was your background? Okay. And what, when, where, and what was the difference that, you know, launched you into this path of becoming a functional follower of Jesus?
Okay, so I have always grown up as a believer. I was raised in a Christian home, attended church every Sunday. So I attended concerts, listened to gospel music, had Bible studies uh-huh. with friends. Uh-huh. In high school, joined the Christian Union. Every program that they advertised that had anything to do with Christian.
So you basically did everything that a good young Christian should do.
Yes.
And let me guess, you also spoke Christianese.
Very much.
You spoke,
so.
Yeah, you everything that Christians say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, but I realize that I'm a very practical person.
Okay.
And I like being in such, I thank God for that particular background, because again, when you read the word, you are also exposed to things in the Bible that you see, mm-hmm. but when you're not experiencing them as a believer, it kind of questions, okay, for me, it used to question the validity of the word.
So the Bible seemed like a fairy tale book. In other words, you read these things, you affirm them, you even believe them, but they are not playing out in your real life.
Yes.
Okay.
They seem to be playing out in other people's lives.
Okay.
Because you look at the likes of Benny Hinn or Then I think someone had introduced me to Rhapsody of Realities, and okay. you'd see Chris Oyakhilome, all those yeah. people. Yeah. And then you wonder, okay, what do these people have with God that okay. is not working in my life?
Or there was a disconnect in your experience.
Yes,
okay.
very, very mm-hmm. huge. And in campus, the same thing. And I like, if you say in the Bible that I'm able to do this, that I am this, it needs to be manifest.
Mm-hmm. Fleshed out.
Yes. And then I also looked at the lives of the people around me, most of the believers who we'd pray together, and there was still something that was missing in their lives because we never lived what we professed.
Wow.
We never did. So we'd still be the same ones cheating in exams. Mm. Sorry.
I'll report you now to your VC. Uh-huh.
You know, we are the same ones who, you know, are backbiting mm-hmm. one another. We are the same ones who would do all manner of things. So it for me, it reached a point where I was like, then this God is very indifferent. I don't know. He seems like he's unsure of what he wants in this life with his people.
Okay.
Because we say we are, but we live differently.
Wow.
And I think at some point in my life, I got tired of saying who I am, but I'm not that person. And I wanted something that was practical, that made sense. And so I began to have like a faith crisis in my years in campus, and I began to do a bit of research mm-hmm. on other religions.
Okay.
And I thought to
your
myself,
your parents didn't know this.
No.
Because somehow you were still in church.
I was still in church, and then I'm a good girl.
Huh. And perhaps this is the experience of some young people out there who are still in church. Mm. But they are exploring because they are wondering, this isn't real. Mm. This isn't applicable to my everyday life. Mm. Go on, please.
So in that final year, I remember I began doing research about different religions and just looking at what other people believe in. Obviously I decided that I won't follow the Hindu way because I don't believe that stones will talk back to you or idols will. That one I decided no. But the one that was most appealing to me was Islam.
Why?
Well, because it was very practical. They lived in a my classmates were very communal in nature. They lived together, prayed together. They read together and they excelled in their exams together. For me, it made sense that it was very practical. They lived out their religion.
Yeah.
They're dressing everything. They're praying everything. So
it reflected their faith. Everything they did drew its expression from what they believed.
Yes.
Unlike many of us Christians who say something, but we live otherwise.
Yes.
So that seemed to appeal to you because there was a connection between faith and practice.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that kind of threw me off guard, and I realized maybe Christianity is not what real. It seems. It's not real. Mm. And at the point of thinking of actually becoming a Muslim, a dear friend of mine invited me for another Bible study. She called it a Bible study.
Okay.
And so I decided, okay, why not? Let me just join it. Yeah. And it wasn't a Bible study. It was a discipleship journey for me.
Okay.
I encountered certain truths in the Bible that I didn't know existed. Mm. And I didn't even think that they were in the Bible because I kept on asking myself, hey, who are we all reading the same Bible?
Okay.
What exactly is it? And that truth awakened me up to so many realities about what following Jesus really means and what it entails. I liked the fact that there was a responsibility on my part because I always felt like our teachings were God will do, God will do, God will do. And so when God doesn't, there's a missing link.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with God. But then what's the responsibility on my part as a believer and working out salvation? It was interesting for me. I discovered new insights, discovered things about myself I didn't expect.
Mm, like what?
That I actually liked people.
You didn't know you liked people before then?
Here's a fun fact. Uh-huh. For me, I chose microbiology to study in campus. One, because the enrollment rate at when I joined campus, we were less than 50 in our class. So that means fewer interaction with people. And then
and you liked that.
And I liked that. And the second thing is I'd get to work in a lab with no people except bacteria and viruses and fungi. Yeah. I don't have to think about people. I thought people were very complicated beings. And
so you enjoyed your studies in microbiology because you didn't need to interact much with people.
Yes.
Wow. Then by now you were discovering things about yourself.
Yes.
That you actually liked people.
Yes.
Can we attribute that to the work of God inside you unveiling the real you now coming out?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And it's amazing because I think all my life the misconception I've always had is that Jesus just came to sort out my spiritual life. So it's okay, like the Christianese, like the Bible study, that's what Jesus is here to sort out. But all other things, you know, you don't think of finances or relationships with people as something that Jesus is interested in. So that really blew my mind when I began the journey of discipleship and realized that he came. It's wholesome.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It's holistic.
It's holistic.
Every
yes.
area of your life
yes.
was being invited to yes. follow him.
Yes.
Not just your Sunday morning.
Yes.
Every area of your life was being brought under his lordship.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I believe it's a struggle that quite a number of many young people actually go through when you join campus or even in high school, because in our setting, you know, you're in a boarding school or you're in a campus. So the most easiest way to live life is, you know, meet with these people in your CU, in your Bible studies. But then afterwards, I realized there's a huge fallout rate after people leave campus.
Wow.
Why?
Wow.
It's because we are so focused on Christ.
Yeah.
Being like our solution, the way we view Christ is he's only handling my spiritual aspect, but every other thing is not.
Yeah, he's exposed to the influences of other people.
Yes.
Jesus is not incidental to how I spend my time, how I spend my money, what I say when I hang out with my friends, the kind of conversations I have, my future plans, projections, ambitions.
Yes.
In fact, Jesus may not be interested in the course of study or my line of professional inclination.
Yeah.
That's the mindset that you are saying many young people have on campus.
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I realized that it's important that we deal with it early enough, that you know that Jesus is interested in the whole of you.
Wow.
I remember the first time I volunteered to work with this organization after campus, and I think because of everyone, African timing and everyone is okay with you being late. I strolled in a few minutes late. And I didn't expect it to be such a big deal until I learned the importance of time in relation to God and Christ. And I'm like, what does that have to do
with
life?
That's a disconnect.
Like,
I mean,
it's so disconnected.
If you want to tell me about time, send me to a management seminar
or
a self-help group or something, but don't bring it into spiritual things.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded so unspiritual at that time. But then I've learned with time. And I've seen the importance of why discipleship is really critical for any person who says they want to be a follower of Jesus.
Mm.
When Jesus calls you to follow him, there is what he has seen. Like the end product is to be more like him. And that is something that we should all strive to desire to be like.
So are you able to speak to people now? Are you able to communicate with a small group, maybe even a crowd, compared to how you used to be as a Christian, in quote, but not really somebody who had submitted her life, the totality of every area of her life, under the lordship of Jesus so he can develop and really bring out his true essence in that life? Is there any change in character and skills that you've developed?
There are plenty.
Okay.
I can testify that I can now talk to people. I can stand
not
in
just
front
bacteria
of
anymore. Now you've graduated to people. Interesting.
I can stand in front of lecturers and say a word or two and not feel intimidated.
Yeah.
It's interesting that even some of the gifts that had been hidden for the longest time and I didn't think I had them or they were for a specific kind of people,
yes.
I'm seeing them come out.
Wow.
And I'm using skills and talents and things about me to yeah. solve problems yeah. that I didn't know I had the capacity to.
So can we say that you found the real you when you began to follow Jesus? Not just confess a prayer, I'm born again, I'm active in church, I'm even a leader in CU. When you began to follow Jesus as an obedient disciple, will I be right to say that's when you found the real you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. You cannot find yourself anywhere else apart from following Christ. That's it.
Now, that's not a religious statement.
No.
This is for real.
No, this means, is for real.
This means bringing every area of your life under His Lordship.
Yes.
This means everything, literally, not just Sunday morning,
yeah.
not just Wednesday night Bible study or yeah. Friday night Kesha. Yeah. We're talking about 24/7.
Yes.
Then you find the real you.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's big.
It's huge.
What you are saying, Philomena, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that you are inviting young people who are listening to this, and actually everyone who's listening to this, to bring the totality of their lives under the Lordship of Christ as His disciples,
yeah.
then they will find who they really are.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The magazines won't help you. Mm. The celebrities on TV won't help you.
Browsing all kinds of websites nothing. To find answers to life.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
Jesus except alone. Except Jesus alone.
Let me press a little bit further before okay. we close.
Okay.
We are co-hosting anyway. So since you started sharing your story, how has following Jesus as a disciple helped you to see the state of the world and people who, we're not talking about people who are now Christians, in quotes, but are not fully disciples. I'm talking about people who don't even know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been exposed to the realities of a lost world, and how has that stirred your heart to want to do something about it?
Okay. I think the most amazing aspect of following Jesus helped me see the way Jesus sees people. And I realized that when I was a Christian, in quotes, I'm air quoting,
yes.
I'd focus so much on myself.
Okay.
You focus a lot on yourself, your needs.
Your needs.
Your yeah. issues. Mm-hmm. Everything is just about you. But following Jesus actually gives you a broader perspective. It goes beyond you. You get to see the plight of other people, and then you get to understand His heart is actually for people who are lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found myself praying. I would love to swear, but I can't.
Uh-huh.
But I never prayed for anybody's salvation. Since
all your years in church?
No, even in campus, I never really prayed for anybody to get saved.
Wow.
I never thought of yeah. Muslims having the need to have the gospel. I
yeah.
never thought of Hindus.
Okay.
I was always thinking, how will God solve my problem?
Yeah.
And so,
Do you think this is a common thing with the average Christian out there? Or were you an exception, a remote case?
I think it's common everywhere. If you listen to the average prayer of any Christian,
yeah.
it is always about
themselves.
Their needs and what God can do for them. And if it grows beyond that, it's maybe for to the nation now.
Wow.
But we never think of the ones who are lost completely, who
yeah.
never have
let
had
alone think about global mission,
nothing.
The unreached people
yes.
who have no access to the gospel.
Yes.
So that has changed for you.
That has changed for me.
What are some things you've done as a disciple in the last few years of following Jesus that has drawn you into tangible action in seeing that the gospel actually gets to those who don't have it?
Okay. One of the things I've done is, excuse me, I've mobilized for prayer.
Okay.
Amongst friends, created awareness that such people groups exist. At one time, I was a real terror to my family because I tell them, you need to know these things, you need to know these things.
Yeah.
And interestingly, my sister ended up volunteering in an organization for 1 year that serves amongst the unreached
people.
So she has an understanding of global mission.
Yeah.
I've also been able to support missionaries who are serving amongst the unreached
communities. Yes.
And it's interesting.
And you've made a few trips.
Yes, yes.
We won't mention where for security reasons, but I'm aware that you've visited some locations where there are hardly any known followers of Jesus at all. I wish we had time. I'd have asked you to share your first trip or some of those early trips you made to some of those locations that, you know, the average Christian in Nairobi or any of our big cities may not want to find themselves. Did it make any impact on you?
It made the best impact in my life. Okay. I think that I'd do that 100 times over again. I realized the need that is there, and the imbalance that is there. Like, we are so okay being Christians. We are thriving in our homes, yet the places that need the gospel the most, people are living in abject poverty. You can see it in their faces. They're desperate for truth.
But most importantly, they are lost and heading to an eternity without the Savior.
Yes.
And it's interesting you mentioned this, because Jesus says in Matthew 28 that we should go and make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups, all tribes. We should make disciples. Is that commission for pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and reverends? Or who is commanded to make disciples of all nations?
We are commanded to make disciples any person who identifies themselves as a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, is commissioned to make disciples of all nations.
Are you making disciples now?
Yes.
Okay, so you have some people that you are actually discipling.
Yes.
And helping them to grow to maturity.
Yes.
So that they also can go make disciples.
Yes.
Now, this, what Philomena has just explained, is what Positive Disciple, this podcast and other services we offer, that is what it's all about. It's equipping disciples. First of all, it's about sharing with people how to be a follower of Jesus in everyday life, being a disciple who makes disciples, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So I can rightly infer that anyone who is truly following Jesus is being made into somebody who fishes for men. So if I am not fishing for men, perhaps I'm not being made. And if I'm not being made, maybe it's because I'm not following. So, simple arithmetic, simple progression rather. Follow Jesus and he will make you somebody who has a heart, who develops compassion for the lost, so that he can use your life in drawing them again to himself, and so that they can follow him. I guess this podcast has lasted longer than we thought. So just, I don't know. Anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we draw to a close?
I think the only thing I just invite them for is a journey that is worthwhile. Okay. It's a journey worth taking. You will never regret following Jesus. I think one of the words we used was lordship, and sometimes people assume that being Lord, like Jesus being Lord, means him taking away all your freedom and things like that. No, it's actually gaining freedom when you actually follow Jesus. So stay tuned for more inspiring episodes. Get to hear stories from other people aside from myself, and just interact with us also on our online social platforms, where we can learn and grow together.
And just for the sake of, just to notify, give you some notices, we actually have a blog also titled Positive Disciple. And if you'd like to receive that, let us know, and we'd love to plug into our database so you can receive the Positive Disciple podcast as well as the Positive Disciple blog. We look forward to further interactions with you as we keep exploring what it means to be an obedient disciple of Jesus in everyday life.
Bye, guys. Thank you for listening. We hope you have been equipped in positive discipleship. Stay tuned for our next podcast and be sure to leave us a comment on what you are learning and doing to follow Jesus and make disciples wherever you are.